In your Bibles, would you turn to Joshua chapter 9? Joshua chapter 9. And this follows the defeat of and destruction of Ai and the renewing of the covenant. Joshua chapter 9, and we'll read verses 1 through 27. This is God's inerrant, infallible word. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. And so our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. This, our bread, was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and has become crumbled. These wineskins, which were filled with new, and behold, they were torn. These are clothes and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey.' So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. It came about at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. And the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chipherah and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. The sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, so that wrath will not be upon us for the oath which we swore to them." The leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you are living within our land? Now therefore you are cursed, and you shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." And so they answered Joshua and said, "But because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you, therefore we feared greatly for our lives because of you, and you have done this thing. And have done this thing. Now behold, we are in your hands. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." And thus he did to them, and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, to this day in the place which he would choose. And that is the word of God. The first two verses show us that these different people groups, these different cities, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, etc., that they all join forces because they see Israel is coming. They see what's happened to Jericho and what's happened to Ai, and so they join forces, hopefully, to defeat Israel. Apparently, the cities can't do it by themselves. Jericho can't do it by themselves. Ai could not do it for themselves, and so they join forces, except one group, and that's the Gibeonites. And they craftily plan to trick Israel into thinking that they're from a distant country, that they would make a covenant with them to spare them. You see some of the things they do. They put on worn-out clothes. They make their belongings old and worn. And they take the bread, and it's dry and old. They went seeking a promise from Israel, and that Israel would not harm them or destroy their people or destroy their cities. That's what was feared, wasn't it, that they would be destroyed. And so they result to trickery. If they had told them that they were from Gibeon, they would have been destroyed. So they have to trick them. They use a convincing story too. They put on all the clothes and they look as if they're from a distant country. Israel wouldn't know based on what the Gibeonites told them that it was not true. The points line up logically, and then you look at verse 14. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. And the covenant was made. And you think about verse 14, that they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. And you think about what folly lies there with Israel. And you see how it ends up. That they find out that Gibeon has tricked them. Where's Israel's wisdom? They could have easily called upon the Lord through the high priest, but they didn't do that. They relied on their own wisdom to determine what was true. They asked the right questions. They did everything that was proper and right, except going to the Lord and asking for His wisdom. And they received a proper answer from the Gibeonites. You know, where are you from? Why are you here? And everything lines up, except... And if we were in the same situation, we asked the same questions, we would be convinced probably ourselves that these were people from a distant country. But are we like Israel in this? Do we need guidance from God only when we're in doubt? Israel was not in doubt here. They were pretty confident about who these people were. Outward appearance, there's no reason to doubt. To Israel, they didn't think they had to doubt. Do we do that? Are we never or oftentimes not seeking the Lord's wisdom, even when it seems perfectly clear what should happen? Or do we think that there is no need to consult the Lord on this matter? It's quite clear, you know, where what we are to do in particular situations. Don't be pridefully independent of the Lord. Remember what he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And yet that's exactly what Israel did not do. They trusted in themselves with all their heart. They trusted in their own understanding. And they made a decision. And verse 16 and following, Israel lives with their vow despite the fact that the new understanding of where these people are actually from, that they had been deceived. And this morning we were talking about when Israel entered into the promised land, they were supposed to destroy all those inhabitants, right? Because, and so that they would not be succumbed to idolatry of the worship of these pagan nations and pagan peoples. And here you see that as Gibeon, these people are brought in, that idolatry is not brought in into Israel from these people. And so rather the Gibeonites assemble under the ways of Israel, even though they're cursed, to remain in a low position amongst God's people. Well, you think about that curse that they have. Even in their curse, they would continually be exposed to the God of Israel. Continually exposed to the knowledge of God and of their worship. And they would be asked, and they would come and worship with Israel. Mercy from God to a Gentile people, and mercy to God to a lying people. And that's the same mercy that God shows us. So let it not be that we forget God's mercy, and let it not be that we trust in ourselves and our own understanding. But even when it seems clear, even when it seems right there in our face, this has to be this way, let us seek the Lord and ask for His wisdom.